Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. BYT Radio stands for Brightest Young Things. Brightest Young Things is an arts and culture website based out of Washington, D.C., with a presence in New York and Chicago. We also throw events. Our next event happens to be tomorrow night, Friday, May 31st, at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. We are throwing the big Pride Party featuring Aquaria, who is the current reigning RuPaul's Drag Race winner. And as of tomorrow, she will not be, because the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11 is tonight. And I have two women on the show that we're going to talk about everything except RuPaul's Drag Race. So let me just talk about RuPaul's Drag Race for the next 10 minutes. Here we go. Number one, Drag Race this season has not been the best cast, but one of the most satisfying series of eliminations. Jack, I want you to chime in on this, because I'm assuming you do not watch the second greatest sport of all time, RuPaul's Drag Race.
No, I don't.
Number one is the NBA. So number two is RuPaul's Drag Race. Here's why it's been so satisfying. You might not like your top four as contestants, but every single person that went home deserved to go home that week or the week prior. Therefore, it's been the most satisfying run of Drag Race. Now, the women on the show today are art curators, and essentially what I'm doing is I'm curating Drag Race. Now, as a straight white male, it gives me every right in the world to rank every person that's pretending to be a woman, and this is how it works in America. This is America. That's what that Donald Glover song is about. Anyways, Jack.
Yes.
Have you seen any episode of Drag Race?
I have not.
Okay. So here's why this season has been so satisfying. Every single person that's left in the final four, this relates to what you wonderful people do. Trust me. Don't worry. Every single person that's left checks a different box. So if you're trying to go to a buffet, let's say, you're trying to go to an old country buffet. I'm tying this to one of the contestants. You're going to want to put a little bit of everything on the plate. Does it always make sense to eat those things together? Absolutely not. Will it make you a little bit sick? Absolutely. At the end of the day, though, won't you be glad that you had that experience and trying everything? That is the point of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11. We don't have one featured dish. We don't have one great thing. We don't have one great type of performer. We have a lot of pretty good stuff. Do we have someone that's essentially doing Sharon Needles? Yes, that was inevitable. That's okay. Sharon Needles, former BYT. Am I selling tickets to Pride, Jack? Do you think I'm doing a good job?
Yeah, they're
former DC,
see the sales coming in.
See, former DC BYT Pride performer, Sharon Needles. She was the spooky queen. Anyways, Evie Oddly is doing that. That's okay. Brooklyn is a dancer. Have we had dancers on the show? Absolutely. Have we had Canadian dancers on the show? We have not. Now that's a new flavor. We have a poutine-flavored dancer on the show. That's an important thing to do. Do we have a Chicago queen in the finale? Of course we do. Was she polarizing? Absolutely. Does she belong in the finale? Absolutely. Are you blind? She barely spoke in the reunion episode, and I want to know why that happened, and that's why I'm excited. Tomorrow night, to talk to Aquaria, Season 10 winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, because tonight, like I said, is the finale of Season 11. Aquaria will be there handing over her crown to crown the next winner. And then you could find out what was going on tonight at the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Wow.
That was, what, 3 minutes?
Yeah, you condensed a
40-minute
podcast.
I got 7 minutes to go.
Three,
here we go.
Oh, God.
Now, to the women in the room who have not been introduced, I would like to thank them for not talking yet, because they understand how radio works. Sometimes we have guests and they just start talking, but no one knows who it is and they don't exist. So the listener at home is thinking, am I in the studio? Am I crazy? But they're not crazy. They're rude people. You, on the other hand, are great people. So here's 6 more minutes on Drag Race. I've forgotten my credit card once in my life. I was sober, but it was at the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race. I watched it at Duplex Diner down the street on 18th Street in beautiful Adams Morgan. Same neighborhood as the line, which we are at. Look at me give all those locations out. I was so flustered on who won, I forgot my credit card at Duplex Diner. That's a public service announcement to everyone watching RuPaul's Drag Race tonight, the finale. There's a handful of places to watch in Washington, D.C. Don't forget your credit card. People will think you're drunk even if you're not drunk. You might just be so impassioned by who won, you'll get flustered. Don't let that happen to you. That happened to me. Anyways, I could easily do another 48 minutes on RuPaul's Drag Race, but probably not season 11, the season that we're in. I'm glad I watched it. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, like, I guess I'm a completist when it comes to Drag Race, but, like, I would never recommend season 1 or 2 to anyone.
Do you have to start there, though? What if you're new?
No, I'd start in season 3. I know I'm not the biggest Michelle Visage fan. I know you don't know what that means, but I don't know what that means.
I know what that means.
You are not. See, now you've screwed up. You screwed up. Marta does not exist yet.
That might count as an introduction.
It does count as an introduction. Marta, you could talk now. Marta, how do I actually pronounce your last name?
Staudinger.
Marta Staudinger.
Yeah.
What nationality is that?
Austrian.
That's a great place, right? How's the drag culture in Austria?
No idea.
So how do you know who Michelle Visage is?
I have been guilty to watch a few... Yeah,
there is no guilt
of
Drag Race.
Yeah, it seems like a lifetime ago, but yeah,
well, it's been on for it's 11 years now.
Yeah,
that's a good show.
I love the costumes and the contest.
They are not costumes. Well, sometimes there's a costume challenge and it is a costume.
Yeah,
I like
the contest, the karaoke, the
you love singing for your life.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, Helen, have you watched any Drag Race?
Oh yeah.
Okay, Helen, how do I pronounce your last name?
Criales.
Helen Criales.
Si.
Where is what nationality is that? Is that also Austrian?
Bolivian.
That's a different place. We're going in order. Yeah. Do we have any from Canada? We have A, B, and C. Anyways, what are your thoughts on Brooklyn, who is from Canada? Are you caught up on season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race?
Oh, no. It's been a very long time since I watched it.
So when did you stop caring about culture as a whole? Seriously, though, Drag Race. You have, both of you have watched RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
I
love RuPaul.
The second best sport. Now, why did you stop watching a show that you know is important, that is changing the world for the better? Just too busy?
Yeah.
I get that.
Pretty much.
I think for me, I shifted to a different reality TV series.
Let's talk about that. What's the reality?
I am a huge fan of the MTV Challenge.
Hold on. So you love the MTV Challenge, but you don't like...
I do like it, but...
You prefer the MTV Challenge...
I've got a pick, you know.
...to a bunch of people screwing with gender that have to do all of the challenges in heels.
Well, when you put it that way, yeah. Maybe I made a mistake.
You did make a mistake. And I thank you for apologizing to RuPaul Charles. Now, have you read any RuPaul books?
I have
books have you read by RuPaul?
I can't remember which one, but it's kind of like a self-help.
They're all pretty much self-help books. Was it from the early 90s, mid-90s when she had her talk show, or is it from this current run of Drag Race?
I think it's from when she had her talk show.
Really? So you read it? Oh, that one for a pretty penny on eBay a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Do you still have that book?
I do.
May I have it for free?
Maybe.
Okay, cool. Let's see how this goes. Now, Jack.
I'm here, yeah.
Do you... What the...
Whoa.
You know, out of all the mics,
mic.
The producer engineer's mic is supposed to be the one that doesn't peak. Now, do you know the Biggie Smalls song that references RuPaul?
What is it, Juicy?
Could you find that and play a little bit of that, specifically the RuPaul part? Now, when it comes to RuPaul, which version do you prefer? Current... 90s supermodel, B-52's Love Shack version, Barbie doll version, talk show version, super high morning radio show host, super self-helpy, I love getting candles and hiking at 5 a.m. current RuPaul. Which version of Ru do you prefer? There is a right answer.
Barbie doll.
Barbie doll. I love that one. Now, that also fetched a pretty penny. Do you have any Barbies?
Not anymore.
But you did as a child, or you did as like a teen?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you stop with the Barbies?
Probably when I was like 13.
13? Do you regret stopping?
No.
Okay. So you thought, I'm out at the right time. I made the right decision.
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of did different things with my Barbies, though.
Like what?
Like I would paint them and draw on them and give them really weird haircuts.
What makes a hairstyle weird?
Good question.
You so much.
Well, I guess I was styling them the way that I thought was just like...
Now, Helen, I'm not trying to offend you, but I would say that you have a very classic hairstyle right now. It is not... I don't think anyone would consider it weird.
Right.
Now, what would you like to do to your hair if you knew you could have a different hairstyle every single day and it would grow back a la Wolverine?
Oh my God, I would go bald.
You'd go bald.
I would shave it off, but first I would dye it like pink.
You want? Have you ever had pink hair?
No.
Now, have you had, Marta? Have you had pink hair?
I have had pink hair.
Now, I've had pink hair too, but it wasn't on purpose. Was yours on purpose?
Yes.
It's okay. Easier for you because you're blonde.
Because you were blonde.
But I had to go like platinum blonde.
So that's the difference between Austria and Bolivia. Some pink pigment sticks a little bit easier to one versus the other. We're not going to tell you which one. That's for you, the home listener, to figure out yourself. So you had pink hair. Did you like your pink hair?
Yeah, I loved it.
How long did you have your pink hair?
Probably a summer.
Oh, that's a fun summer do. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that.
It wasn't fully pink.
Was it short or long?
It was like shoulder length.
Okay.
So you know what it was? I was in college and I was copying a photo shoot I saw of Rachel McAdams.
Oh,
her
yes.
Her hair was like blonde and she had all these light pink strips.
I think this is our
I
Josie.
I did that.
This is post She's All That, like right in the midst of Josie and the Pussycats. Or no, I'm
wrong
thinking
actress.
Of, I'm thinking of, who am I thinking of?
You're thinking of that other girl. No,
how
this one
dare
is,
you not know the name of the person I am referencing? This is America now. Apologize to the white straight man. That's what that song is about. We
Tara Reid? Is that who you're talking
about? Not Tara Reid.
No, not Tara.
Tara Reid was the drummer. In
Rachel Lee Cook?
Rachel Lee Cook is who
Cook.
I'm thinking
That's
of.
That's who it is. That's
I'd like to apologize to Rachel Lee Cook.
No, but this was Rachel McAdams post The Notebook when she like started bringing all this flair and like, yeah.
Got it. So this is much more recent. I've just dated myself. I'm 36.
No, it was like 15 years ago.
Is it really been 15 years for The Notebook? Oh, no,
yeah.
I feel very old.
Oh, my God.
In
yeah.
a good way. I feel fine about that. I'm not like, oh, I wish I was young. No, I want to know all the references. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Which brings us back to RuPaul's Drag Race and what you do. You're a 13-year-old girl. You're still playing with Barbies, but you're making them artsy. You're a current curator.
Yes.
How do those two relate? Do they relate?
Ooh.
Someone is shaking their head yes.
So, yeah.
But it's not the person on mic.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're both curators.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, why?
Well.
Yeah, well, go.
All right, well, I'll go. For me, it's...
This is Marta.
I'm Marta, and I'm a multi-potentialite.
What does that mean?
I think it's when you are not really good at just one thing,
okay.
and you like to kind of be this middleman of creating all these things to come together. And
okay.
so you're kind of thinking about them coming together in a space. You're thinking about energy. You're thinking about mood, theme, narrative, and like always kind of pulling things together.
Okay.
And that's, you know, there are a lot of forms of curating now. You have blog curators, you have Instagram, mm-hmm. you know, content curators. But I think that skill set of kind of pulling things into a narrative,
okay.
Is similar with how I played with my Barbies. So
you also play with the Barbies.
I also did play with
And you could see the connection between playing with the Barbies and setting up their
world.
Yeah,
because it's not the vanity of the Barbie, from what I remember. It was when you're playing with them, you're creating like a story.
Okay.
Right? And so that's kind of the same thing. You're curating an environment and a full mm-hmm. culture for that.
Exactly.
For that play date.
Yeah. Yeah. Only like... For me, I was like creating my own characters. I was just
right.
like, hey, you know, like, well, there's going to be like plain Jane, regular Barbie, but I also want artsy Barbie. I
right.
want different Barbie, you know, like.
Yeah. And like, who's with who?
Who's with who? Yeah, exactly.
Who has what car?
So if I told any of the people who are participating in Spiritual Wanderlust, you're essentially a human Barbie doll to me, or your art is a human Barbie doll, you mean nothing. You're moldable plastic that I could cut the hair of. Do you think they'd be okay with that? I think they would be, because that's a huge compliment.
That is Helen's sole responsibility.
All right, so let's talk about why you're on the show this week versus any other. There's a brand new exhibit that opens tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It is called?
Spiritual Wanderlust.
And it's a photo exhibit.
Exactly.
And the middle photo in the feature is a little Twin Peaks inspired, wrapped in plastic. I don't know if you picked up on that, or if I was supposed to pick up on that, or if I just put
it's
that
a
on there.
Twin Peaks.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I love Twin Peaks.
You're damn right. Have you seen season 3?
No, I have not.
Yeah, you should. No. It's the best piece of art in the 21st century. And this is a man who said RuPaul's Drag Race is the second best sport. I clearly know what I'm talking about.
There you go.
About.
It's all curating together.
Not really. Here's why it's different. You are the RuPauls in this situation. You are determining who gets in, who gets on your runway. I am just a viewer. I am not the curator.
That's true.
So, why this exhibit? Why now? I realize it's a very vague question, but I know that Helen, you are specifically overseeing this.
Yes.
And I know that it's about. Let's go back to Twin Peaks. It's about trauma. There's some trauma involved.
Absolutely.
Here.
Okay. Yeah. So. Yeah, you know, Spiritual Wanderlust just kind of evolved from my own personal experiences. A couple of years ago, I did experience some personal trauma, and, you know, everything just kind of, when I met Marta, everything just kind of developed organically.
Okay.
You know, I'm in this place now where I'm exploring myself spiritually,
okay.
And it could have something to do with, you know, our culture now and
how great it is, and you want to highlight
and,
it.
You know, no, I definitely have noticed like a huge, you know, uptick in, you know, spirituality, and it could just be, you know, because of the current administration, maybe.
I would disagree completely. I think it's never been better. Now, how do you let's dive right first in the spirituality stuff. Why? Like, are you spiritual? Number one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm starting.
Okay.
I'm starting to become a more spiritual person, but you know, about a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, I realized that I was neglecting that part of myself.
Okay.
And yeah, now it's like it's time.
So twofold. Number one, what does spirituality mean to you? Because mm-hmm. it seems like a very moldable word, which
is
both good and bad. And then number two, how are you practicing it now?
Okay. So to me, spirituality is kind of like elevating yourself.
Okay.
I believe that there is like a like this higher level of energy out there, and you can elevate yourself to that energy. I believe that everybody has the potential to be divine.
Okay.
And right,
you're
now,
referencing the drag queen Divine. But
I love Divine.
There you go.
Yeah, she's.
Tickets are still on sale for our Pride event tomorrow night. Smithsonian American Art Museum. Look at me sell. Anyways, thank you for letting me mock one of the most sacred things in someone's life. So, see, if everyone has the potential to be divine, I understand what you're saying, but you're still using words that are also very malleable.
Yeah,
divinity is very malleable. Ascending is very valuable because we're not talking about physically lifting yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
So what, once again, how are you practicing that today?
How am I practicing? You know, it started with yoga.
Okay.
I practice Kundalini yoga right now.
Do you meditate?
I try to practice
okay.
meditation. It's a little difficult for me.
It's difficult for everyone.
But it's, you know, it's a work in progress.
So the yoga, you're more in tune with the yoga.
Yes.
Do you feel the difference when you don't practice?
Absolutely.
Wow. Could you describe your body? That's a weird thing to say to somebody, but I think in context, it's fine.
I think it's definitely, yeah, I can tell a difference in my body,
mm-hmm.
but it's more of a difference in my mindset.
How long, in an ideal world, are you in yoga a day?
I'm sorry.
How often, I'm assuming daily, but how many minutes per day are you practicing yoga in an ideal world?
In an ideal world?
Yes.
If I could practice, oh gosh, 2 hours.
2 hours? And what is the average though?
You know, an hour and 15 minutes.
That's still a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot longer than I thought you were going to say. That's great. That's very good.
Yeah.
Do you practice with anyone?
I practice in a class.
Okay.
Class
so you,
setting. Yeah,
do you prefer the class setting?
Absolutely.
Will you practice alone?
Yes, I've tried.
But you're not as happy with that as
no,
you are with
a
shared experience.
Yeah, I mean, I can do either.
Okay.
But, you know, when I can't make it to a class, I definitely make time for myself
sure.
to practice as much as I can.
Now, do you prefer for people to see this exhibit solo? Or with a group, with friends, do you want them to have that conversation or do you want them to have that private moment with the art?
I think maybe more of like a private moment.
Okay. So it's not like going to a yoga class. You just want to look at some happy trauma stuff. on your own. Now, Marta, why stage this exhibit?
Oh, good question. A few reasons. One is the mission of La Tella. We're a gallery, but we're also an art consulting business that I started almost 5 years ago now. And there has always been, because I also come from a meditation and yoga background, mm-hmm. and think that's important for artists who we work with to be pretty in tune with what they're producing, and that kind of at peace with where their careers go and how that manifests. But also the idea of putting art in a home and that like mindfulness of you're really curating an energy. It's not, oh, that's hot or it matches my couch. You know, there should be some more thought process behind how we work with our clients. And so the gallery is really a space for both of those to come together. And so since we opened, we have always hosted meditations, other type of seated activities that we don't do yoga, like a yoga class.
Sure.
But so it connects, and we've never really done an exhibition that fully brings the two together.
Okay.
So that's always something I've wanted to do. It's been on my mind to kind of curate every project towards that.
Sure.
Towards that. And we have a curatorial apprenticeship because I've created this space and I don't want to curate every exhibition. I want to be giving other people that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so Helen came along and inquired about that and had this great idea. And I just said, you know, I can tell you yay or nay on how this will work, that will work, but, you know, formulate it on your own. And so I think that she was inspired by the space because of our mission, but the actual exhibition is fully her yeah. credit and her vision.
Let's talk about the commerce aspect of this. You are a commercial gallery. Right. You're a highly rated and reviewed commercial gallery.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say rated and reviewed. Those are synonyms. You're a highly reviewed commercial gallery. You're trying to make artists money, which is nice.
Yeah. It's important.
Not a lot of people know this. Most artists aren't well off.
Right.
They're broke. There's a reason why it's starving artists. They're at home practicing yoga instead of going out and buying $20 drinks at the Line Hotel in beautiful Adams Morgan. But how important was that to you? How important is the commerce aspect of this? Because without it, it's going to be difficult to pay bills.
I mean, you can look at it both ways. There are amazing nonprofits here.
Sure, sure. Yes,
that provide stipends for artists,
yes.
Right? And so a lot of artists receive money through the curatorial projects that they do or the installations, and it's not necessarily putting a commercial tag on each piece you sell. Mm-hmm. But I felt like there was space for another commercial gallery to work as a counterpart in this specific community. But it's something I think about all the time because we do need to pay the bills. I do want to move work. I want to put it in the right lap, but with this same narrative of when it is the right time, the right person will come along. And I know for myself when I'm buying anything, whether it's a $5, I don't know, mug, mm-hmm. or a $2,000, $3,000 painting, I don't want anyone to pressure me.
Sure.
And so I thought that mission really played with how we would work with just who we are when you walk into a space and how it's curated down to how we work as a commercial gallery. And we have been able to sell without really being that auction type of, you better grab it now, or maybe I can give you this discount, mm-hmm. or da da da. You know, it's just kind of like suave, man. Like, you want good art, we're going to give you good art. And but, you know, obviously with intention.
Yeah, both of you are from ish here, but you don't have to be here. Why you went to SCAD? Why did you come back to Washington, D.C.?
Oh, I did my entire undergrad online.
Okay. So you never left Washington, D.C.?
I left Washington, D.C. for a few years.
Like, here's a better question. Why are you in Washington, D.C. now?
Because I love it.
Fair enough. Why are you a business owner in Washington, D.C.?
I think it's important. I feel that the culture here has always intrigued me. It's so strong, the diversity of ideas and colors and movements has always been building here. It's always interested me. But I really believe that it's building, and I feel that there's lack of support, and I chose to play a part.
So when you said lack of support, you meant more from the from like the gallery side versus being an artist side?
Well, or both. Was it both? Both. You know, I'm also a practicing artist. Mm-hmm. So is Helen. And we do consultation stuff and we help artists as well. And we host workshops and we do as much as we can to share any type of business, art business information, whether it's a, you know, organizing your inventory to figuring out your brand and where you're going to, you know, put anything.
When you were playing with your Barbies, and I'm not trying to say that in a sexist way, we already talked about you literally playing with Barbies. Were you thinking about branding? Was that something that now is considered very normal and okay, but like, maybe I'm just like coming from this as a naive, like pure punk rock perspective where like branding is a bad thing, where now it's sort of a mandatory evil.
Mm.
What are your thoughts on branding as a whole?
It's important. It's important, but it's hard.
But do you like it? Do you like thinking about that part of it?
I like, with Latella, every 4 to 6 months, I'm like creating. We're shedding a new layer. We're diving deeper. And I like the brainstorming of what this character keeps maturing into.
Okay.
As far as like the technical day-to-day branding, it's, you know, it's sometimes frustrating how much time you need to think about content and like, you know, all of those messagings and marketing that goes with in tandem with what branding is. And even with our show, we think about what images and how much of a video we're going to show before tomorrow night. And, you know, so you're always thinking about different publics, which is any curatorial responsibility, but different publics and branding and in a way, kind of like Barbies. What are those stories and who's who, right?
Sure,
you kind
sure,
of compartmentalize those those characters and those publics, too.
I understand why you're doing what you're doing as a whole. I understand the idea behind being an artist. I understand the idea of running a gallery. What's the goal for this specific six-week run? You guys are open Is it May 31st or June 1st?
Opening is tomorrow, but technically the exhibition display starts Saturday.
Yeah. So June 1st through July 13th?
Yes.
You get that right?
Yeah.
So what do you hope happens in those 6 weeks? Is it just to like move all the product? Is it to get butts in seats? You know what I mean? Like, or is it just to like, what is the goal?
I just, you know, want to have conversations about spirituality and really get people to, you know, think about their own, you know, spiritual narrative and what it means to them, and have they found it for themselves? Are they on that journey? How are they constructing it for themselves?
How do you view religion when it comes to spirituality?
Good question. You know, I think that, you know, they're two completely different things.
Do you think they're two completely different things?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't have to chime in on this unanswerable question either. I'm just throwing.
No, I would agree. I feel very similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what I think is cool? As far as a goal for this exhibition, is so experience based, because I remember I got goosebumps when I was speaking with Helen and we were first talking about this. Tell the story about the vente,
The what, please?
So, when I was thinking about this exhibit, I was thinking about my experiences. And when I was a little kid, you know, every time I would be frightened or something traumatic would happen, my mother would call back my spirit. And so she would just, you know, hold me and she would say, vente, 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 which means come back. Come back in Spanish. And I thought for the longest time, I was like, that was just really weird, man. Like, that's just weird Latin people stuff. But now it's just like, wow, that's very powerful, you know? And after experiencing trauma myself, I was just like, am I powerful enough to step into that position and call back my own spirit, you know? Yeah. And, you know, as a kid, you know, especially when it comes to religion, I think, you know, nobody can really be God, right? There's only one God. And I thought it was really cool that my mother could step into that role and have that power. You know, at that moment, she was like a goddess, and she was just like, I can bring your spirit back.
It's beautiful. It's not light at all. It's very heavy. That's good. It's
beautiful. But like, that's so in tandem with what I think each artist in this show has put forth work, and Helen has selected work that exhibits...
Is it nine artists?
Eight artists. They all exhibit how through that art and the practice of making that piece, they have done something similar for themselves. Maybe not trauma related. It's not a dark show at all. It's very light.
No, yeah, it's but, not dark.
But commanding that energy, which is what we want the space to feel like. Okay. So that's, I think, the goal for us. I mean, obviously, press is great and people coming by. We hope to have a big crowd tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I think that's really the goal, is for people to kind of walk in and say, wow, like, this either inspired me as an artist to make something that pulls that together, or even as a person to figure out what does do that for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go big picture for city where we close it. What do you hope happens in Washington, D.C. in the next 12 months that doesn't have nothing to do with the administration and the art scene specifically? Because we all agree we want 12 more years of this, 3 terms, baby. Let's do it. So, that's a lie. 4 terms. 14 more years. What do you hope happens in the next year in the arts here in Washington, D.C.?
I'd like to see more small galleries like La Tella pop up.
Okay.
I feel like they should be all over the place.
And I
feel
agree. Like they should be, there should be one in every neighborhood.
Absolutely. And I think that there's enough independent artists and independent curators and independent art consultants that have realized that there is no value in having a commercial space, which is true. It's very expensive. Galleries are closing left and right, and I would love to see a developer partnership that is not just focused on pop-ups, because we need to be thinking about long-term longevity and really building an ecosystem rather than solving a shorter term problem.
So that answers the other question I was going to pose. What do you think the city should do? And I think you just said you want to see more long-term developer gallery partnerships.
And city, where's that city money for some of that too? I mean, I think that, you know, the way I look at it is when we're open and we have an opening, like tomorrow, right? We're going to have people out. We're paying for a DJ. We're paying to be open and have staff and have wine and all that good stuff. But people will leave to go to dinner nearby.
Yeah.
And so when an art gallery exists, that community flourishes. And imagine if there were so many more.
Yeah. Or does the community... Do you go to the community that is flourishing and that makes the most sense? Or do you think you bring the community?
I think it is a partnership.
It's a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to get across about tomorrow night's opening or the June 1st through July 13th run of Spiritual Wanderlust?
You know, please come by and, you know, come and see me.
When will you be there? Your curator's talk is June 20th?
June 20th. Yeah. You know, I'll be there. You know, my name is Helen. I'm like more than happy to
She's either from Austria or Bolivia. You figure it out.
To chat about their works there, or, you know, just what your definition is of spirituality.
That's great.
And yeah, that curator talk is during Third Thursday. So we're located on the Brookland Arts Walk with 26 other artist studios and flexible art spaces. And Third Thursday, when the weather is nice, there's a band and food trucks and a whole bunch of other shit going on. That's just a lot of fun. And yeah, so nice. I think that'll be really nice.
Well, I hope to be there on June 20th, the third Thursday. It's the artist talk. The exhibit opens June 1st. It runs through July 13th. Thank you so much for being part of the show. We're going to go through a quick break, and then I'll be back to talk about things to do this weekend and probably like 20 minutes more on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 11 finale. We'll be right back.
Who is this?
Kuyo again. This is who I've been playing on the show.
Kuyo makes it sound like the computer is falling apart.
Yeah, this song is called Ether Clear. It's spiritual.
It's a reference to Nas's Ether. The only thing that's... Not the only thing. The most interesting thing in music in 2019 is clearly Lil Nas X.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because number one, that's a Nine Inch Nails sample.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Lil Nas X is going to make more money in 2019 than Nas.
Maybe in his whole career.
That's awesome.
No, that's not true, because the 90s were just... Where people swimming in money, yeah.
Oh, here's a question we've been playing around with. What's the last CD you bought? Like, jewel case.
Oh, man.
In a store, not like a friend's
right
thing.
Oh, that's good.
I can't think of it.
I'm not going to count. There were a few Flaming Lips CDs that I bought, but that's because they were also DVDs that had surround sound mixes of the album. And I'm not going to count that.
Why aren't you going to count that? That's probably
because
the last
CD
you bought.
I wouldn't have bought it if it were just a CD.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I bought it because it's like, oh, this is a surround sound DVD that I can hear in surround sound.
Yeah.
So the last CD I probably bought was Joanna Newsom's East.
What year was that?
Probably 2007.
Oh, wow. So you still bought a CD in 2007?
Oh, no, I bought it on vinyl.
Yeah.
That's a lie. I got that on vinyl. When Tower Records closed in New York City, they had a huge blowout sale.
And you bought some stuff?
I bought a bunch of stuff. That was probably 2006 or 7.
When is the last time you played any of those CDs?
I'm about to throw out all the CDs I have at home. I have an enormous suitcase full of them, and I've held on to them and moved into new apartments for so many years with these CDs because, A, they're nostalgic. They evoke memories. But I'm giving up.
Will you keep box sets? Will you keep like special releases? Like, do you have the Radiohead CD that's a book? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's a Tool record that has like 3D glasses
exactly.
on it.
Like,
yeah.
Will you keep that?
No, I'm going to get rid of everything.
Okay.
I'm going to get rid of everything.
What about personal mix CDs someone made for you?
I keep those.
Okay.
I have a spindle of burned CDs that either I made. Yeah, I keep those.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily asking because like you should or you shouldn't. I'm just wondering because a lot of people remember their first CD that they bought. I don't think people remember the last thing they ever did.
It's a tough one.
And I think it's probably around the same year that I bought a CD.
Like 06-ish?
05, 06, yeah. And it was something that like...
Well, it was a weird
you
cross.
Because you couldn't get everything online then. Like certain labels weren't streaming or on iTunes.
Right.
And that was
it. Such a good question. I really have to think about it. There was a period of time where I was buying CDs... because the alternative was iTunes and I'm an audiophile and the bitrate on mm-hmm. iTunes was really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So especially if it's something like an Aphex Twin album or something that like you want that full high fidelity.
So when the new Aphex Twin came out like what, 4 years ago? Something
like
that?
Yeah, something like that.
Did you buy that?
Well, no. Now you can get lossless audio online on certain stores.
Okay.
So I'll go to places like Boomcat or mm-hmm. Juno or there's like HDTrackSomething.com. So when I buy things, it has to be full quality. I don't buy MP3s because those are poor quality.
But if you're listening on headphones, does it matter?
No.
So this is pretty much
debatable,
like
but no.
Your home system?
Still probably not. For me... As a DJ, there is, especially, I'm going to be playing Bonnaroo in a few weeks, and when you play on a system that big, you can tell the
difference.
So
this is a work thing. This isn't a pleasure thing.
And pleasure, too. There are subtle differences. You may not be able to, like, most people may not be able to blind A-B it, but if I'm going to invest in something, I want the best quality of it.
Could you even tell... the bitrate loss if you're at like an Echo Stage or a Bonnaroo. Could you tell?
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah, and we go with a lot of DJs and we always can tell when somebody's playing an MP3.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Because
do you lose respect for them?
No, not at all. What they do with MP3s is to make the file size smaller, mm-hmm. they're cutting out a lot of frequencies that you won't hear on most systems, most headphones, right? So like really, really, really low-end frequencies, really, really high-end frequencies, like no one's going to know the difference. When you play on a system that big at a festival, you do hear those really low frequencies.
Everyone does or just you because
No, you'll feel it.
Oh, you'll feel
a song that's not an MP3 will shake the room more than that MP3
because
there's information missing.
Got it. That's interesting.
No. I wish more people knew that. It's a pet peeve of mine with DJs and performers when they don't realize they're just playing MP3s and it could be so much bigger.
So when you go to Bonnaroo, are you going to be just bringing like... Yeah, what are you going to bring?
A thumb drive.
And those thumb drives have file sizes that are large enough.
Yeah, I mean, I have a 256 gig thumb drive.
That's crazy big.
Yeah, it's a lot of music. And a lot of people will say, like, yo, I saw Aphex Twin live and like the sound system was so good. I'm like, no, it's the same sound system.
Yeah.
It's just like that artist is more aware.
That's fat. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew about bitrate laws, but I wouldn't know the feel.
Yeah, for sure.
So it does matter when it comes to that stuff.
At that scope and size. Yeah. Or like Flash Nightclub. The difference between an MP3 and a WAV file at Flash, you will absolutely hear the difference.
I'm assuming any real club. Anything
yeah,
that has a low
proper,
end.
Proper sound system.
Huh.
For sure.
Well, no, I don't want to recommend anything. I just want people to think about that and figure out what they're going to hear tomorrow night on Friday, May 31st at Pride, our Countdown with Aquaria. She'll be DJing. We'll be DJing, and it's an open bar, and you should come to that. Go to brightestyoungthings.com for tickets. Jack, what are you doing this weekend?
Good question. I'm DJing the Transformer transceiver radio pop-up today.
There you go.
5 to 7 p.m. today.
Look at that. More art stuff.
So that's a thing. On Saturday, Sir EU and Tony Kill are playing alongside a lot of other talented DJs at Flash.
So look at that plug for a club. Look at you.
And then Friday night, our very own Kate Warren is giving a talk at the Apple Store. I don't know what time.
Well, don't go to that.
Go to that before you go to...
Go to Pride.
Pride.
There you go. We'll be back next week with more art stuff. This was an episode that was related to the BYT Art Census. All of those articles are on BritishYoungThings.com. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.